Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions, 512-836-0590.
Hey, good morning, gardeners. Welcome to Gardening Naturally. Today, probably a good out in the garden day. Temperatures won't be too hot and partly cloudy. That always, you know, keeps the temperature down, keeps the sun back a little bit. Should be a nice day, a tad warm. I'm not a fan of 80s in April. That's actually the average temperature, but that doesn't mean I can't want it colder. We've had a pretty amazing winter. It was not brutally cold. Yeah, I know. We had some days where it's like, wow. But it was a relatively warm winter. That means a lot of things. You're going to see more weeds. You're going to see more wildflowers. Probably going to have a bug issue. Because we didn't get enough freezes to make a dent in their habit. And you know, nowadays, so many bugs, they're not bothered by the freeze. We'll get them back as soon as it warms up a little bit. But it's also been a warmer than normal winter, and we're getting the benefit of it in our gardens. I got roses that are going absolutely crazy. Blooming, big blooms, they look great. My veggies, my tomatoes are starting to explode at the moment. I'm looking at having to put cages up because they're finally tall enough and I don't want them flopping over. My peppers have peppers on them. I mean, I'm impressed with that. It has been good growing weather. My trees have leafed out nicely. Shrubs looking really good. They're looking really good. And you know, sometimes a shrub gets to be so bushy that some of the branches can't get enough sunlight. And the inside of the shrub will lose some leaves. Now, hopefully it's being made up by new branches on the outside edges of the shrub with lots of leaves on it, so you don't really notice it. But that's not an unusual behavior for them. They get so thick that stuff on the inside can't get any sun. And those leaves may turn ugly or fall off. Things are looking really good so far. Yesterday, I went out to plant some new plants. Surprisingly, looking for some color changes. I've got a bed full of salvia that are that kind of pinkish. I think they call them autumn. Cone flowers coming up, blooming, looking fantastic. Put in some Russian sage. So I got the pink and orange for the cone flowers and the sage, the salvias. The Russian sage will have a beautiful blue flower, a very soft blue flower. So we were looking for more color, happened to be at a big box store, and their garden section had in a whole boatload. Looks like they just brought them in this weekend. A whole boatload of lantanas in bloom. Now, they're in bloom because the place that was growing them force-fed them like crazy. That's how they sell them to you. They get them to look super, super good, like they will, you know, 6 months after you plant them. But picked them up. They were the right size. Put those in. So now I have a pretty good spectrum of colors. The coral red of Texas betony, the blue of Russian sage, the purple and orange or coneflowers, the lovely, soft, pinkish color of the salvia, all in one bed. And the thing that was important about it, as I was digging the holes, the first thing I had to do was pull back the mulch that we had put on that bed. Now, I had places where we'd had things planted, so the mulch hadn't been there very long, but I had other places where it's like been mulched every year for 4 or 5 years. When I pulled that mulch back, I live in a place that doesn't have the best soil. That's really an understatement. I mean, it's just nasty. I got to dig out so many rocks that it's terrible. When I pulled the mulch back, and like I said, it had been there for several years, it was breaking down and it was leaching nutrients into the soil. When I got the mulch off and got to the point where it was soil that I was working with, I was amazed at the quality of it. It's still a little sticky. It had a little bit more clay in it than I probably wanted, but I actually had some depth. I could go 4 inches deep, which was nearly impossible several years ago, and it was crumbly, and it had held moisture really well, and it was very easy to plant these new plants. I think they're going to take to it very quickly. And all I did to that bed, all I ever did to it, was keep it mulched to preserve water, to prevent the weeds, yada, yada, yada. It was good soil simply by providing it the decomposing organic matter and maintaining that soil moisture the best that I could. And apparently it did a good job of it. So that's my benefit of really directing my labor. I could have been out there constantly adding things, digging it up, working on it, but all I had to do to get the soil improved, to get it to turn around, to get it to be a quality growing place, was to cover it with mulch. That's my kind of level of maintenance that I'm looking for. Every year, go out there, rake the mulch. If it needs more, put more on it. It has worked out. I am very, very impressed with what was not good soil looking so much better and becoming a much better soil. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. let's go to the phone. This is Barbara. Barbara, what can I help you with?
Good morning, Jeff. This is a question about verbenas. The seeds for verbenas are wildflowers. I bought them about a year ago or two, and they've been hermetically sealed, and I never put them out. Do you think I could still sow them out and maybe they'd have a chance to grow? And if so, when would you do it?
Number one, I do it now. And okay. Do they have a chance? Yeah, there's always an opportunity. When seeds go bad, can you turn your radio down?
Yeah, I just hear my battery about to go down, so I'm racing to my charger. Yeah. Just a second.
Got it.
Okay, got to the charger.
All right.
Now I'm turning the radio down.
Okay, got to the charger.
Got it. Okay, here I am.
When they package seeds, each type of seed has a variable, I guess you would say, lifespan. What are the odds that, you know, 10 of 10 of them would germinate? Would you only get 5 of 10 of them to germinate? As they get older, you get less and less of that germination rate. Some seeds will only last a year. Carrots, for example, are one. You got to pretty much get those in the ground in the first year. But some seeds, some beans, they can last 10 years without anything special. Put them in a envelope, hide them in a drawer, and you could use them 10 years later. Verbena is a native wildflower. You should get some germination out of it. Now, you might not get every seed to germinate, but you should get germination out of some of the ones that you have. And it's not a bad time to put them in the ground now. We have some rain looking to come. The temperatures are pretty moderate, and this would not be a bad time to try to start them.
Would you just throw them out, or would you do them with the sand, or would you do them in any?
Sorry, you dropped off there a little. Would I just throw them out? They will always do better if when you put the seeds out, you want to make sure that the seed touches the soil. That is a huge improvement in the germination rate simply by doing that. So maybe you rake a little area to get thatch or dead stuff out of the way, then toss out the seeds. And when you're done tossing them out, walk on the area. That will help push the seed into the soil so that it improves the rate of germination.
Oh, darn. I'm not hearing you. You're cutting out. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Actually, it was the other way around. You were cutting out on me. Can you hear me now?
Yes, but I have a place underground.
Okay.
So anyway, I think what you're saying is the more you kind of walk on them and step on them, and even if your horses walked on them, it wouldn't hurt them.
It won't. Okay. It just makes sure that the seed and the soil come together. Because if you toss those seeds out and it lands on grass, the seed may try to germinate, but where's it going to go? It's not going to grow into the grass, so it'll wind up dying. The more that it has in contact with the soil, the better they'll germinate.
Does it need a lot of sun, or is it okay in the shade somewhat?
That's a little bit of both. I have seen native verbena grow in places that, you know, were like speckled sun, and I've seen it grow in full sun. So you'll get to see what happens with it.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you so much. That's great. I'm going to do that today. And maybe there'll be rain coming and it'll help it.
Yep, this would not be a bad day to go outside and try to get those seeds to come up.
Okay, thank you so much. We appreciate you a lot.
Thanks for the call, Barbara. Let's go to the phone quick. This is Ken. Ken, what can I help you with?
Good morning. I've got a comment and a question. I'd like to lead off with a comment, if possible. When you were talking with the lady about seeds, I have heirloom seeds in my freezer, like old whippoorwill peas and old-timey black eyes and things like that, and corn before it's GMO period. I've had those seeds in my freezer for 20 years, and I take them out I can take the ones dated 20 years ago and take them out and put them in the garden, and they will pretty much come up 90%. The key, I think, is keeping them in the freezer. And the lady may have better luck, you know, if she has extra seed, to wrap them up in an envelope, put them in a Ziploc bag, squeeze all their out, and throw them in the freezer if she wants to keep them a while.
Got it.
Now, to my question, I've propagated peaches, tongue and cleft grafts, just cut the bud off, put them on the side. I've tried all of that and had good success. But I'm having trouble with Tie Tie Nursery or store-bought bare root pecans. There's one area in my yard I cannot get a pecan to grow. Yet, the squirrels will take and bury the pecans around trees, and they pop up.
Yeah.
So they've actually planted some in the area that I was wanting a pecan tree to grow. But my question is, what is the best graft? It looks like a V-type graft where they cut a wedge out and cut a shave of a point on each side. Is that the actual best pecan graft method?
Most pecans are grafted. Yes, that is the common way to do it, because you can graft and have a secure graft that allows them to ship and plant them, production of producing pecan trees for sale. So that should work for you, but I don't know what the success is, because normally they're grafting pecans to a particular scion, a particular rootstock. So not sure if you're not using the right combination or the right graft, but it should work, because that is how most of the grafts are when you go and buy a bag con to plant around here. Ken, I'm up against the news break.
Thank
you for the call. Folks, I'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, folks. we have a decent spring coming on. I find it, you know, April is still spring to me. We're warming up, so by the end of April, we may be a lot warmer than we would like to be, but April is still spring, and so far, we've had a pretty good year. Now, they're showing a chance for it to be wetter. Good, good. We need rain. You know, at night, they say, we're 2 inches above normal. Those 2 inches will be gone in no time at all. Now, May is supposed to be one of our wetter months. So maybe we'll catch up some more rain. But the problem with that is let's say we average 4 inches of rain in May. That's a pretty good amount of rain, right? Well, what if we don't get 4 inches? What if for some reason we get less than that? Well, May rolls into June, and then we're in the heat, and we're in months that hardly produce any rain at all. So we need to get ahead. And like I said, working yesterday, man, I cannot believe how much mulch, just mulching, improve the quality of my soil. And you know, I only put like a 2-inch layer of mulch over the top of this flower bed that I was using. And the corner that I was working on yesterday has never had anything planted there. It was just part of the bed. Mostly, if anything, we would get weeds out of it. But by keeping that mulch level for several years now, that soil was so much better than it was when we made the bed. I actually had depth. It had a nice tilt to it, considering it was easy to plant new plants in it. And I have a feeling they're going to take off. They're going to grow really well. So we don't know what we're going to get for rain. We don't have a clue. It'd be really nice if we just got what we normally got. But we can't seem to manage that. So if you prepare your ground the best you can so that when it does rain, you get as much of it as you can in the soil and make sure that it can't evaporate, that the sun can't cook it out of the soil. And mulch is, if you think about it, it's disposable organic matter. It would be thrown away, or worse, burned, just to clear it up. So mulch is so beneficial, and you're basically recycling, especially when you're using a mulch that's like ground tree. Now, some places have grinders that they grind up the tree, but some of the pieces are like 2 and 3 inches long. That's not mulch, that's a bunch of sticks. But there are some places who grind to 1 inch so that the pieces in general will not be too much bigger than an inch. That's good stuff. That is already small, that's already breaking down faster. And that will just add organic matter to your soil. Every time it would rain, it will leach through that mulch into the ground, and it's nothing but benefit. There are places, sorry, I get to brag on the city of Brown Rock, Deep Woods Recycling Center. If you are a Round Rock resident, you got a Round Rock water bill, go over there with a pickup truck and you can get a pickup truck load, a full pickup truck load of mulch for free. That's a pretty good deal. And they have a grinder that goes to the 1.5, 2 inch size pieces. So it's a really good mulch. You know what the best mulch is, right? That's free mulch. And if you're a city resident, the guys over there, they do a good job. They will grind everything up, and they can even help load your truck. They got an end loader where they get everything that would go in the back, dump it in there in one try, and you're in and out in no time at all. So now is the time. Get out there. Get things mulched. A 2-inch layer of mulch should be more than enough, whether it's a vegetable bed, a flower bed, or around a tree. And if you haven't refreshed that mulch in the last year, that's something you want to look at too. Go out there with a simple rake and fluff up that mulch. Rake around through it. See how thick it is now. Maybe you need another inch of mulch. Maybe you need a lot of mulch because it has broken down. But the deal is, many of the cities have systems where you can get mulch like that. Big fan of Round Rock. I cannot tell you how many pickup truck loads I have gotten from Deep Woods Recycling. Just truckload after truckload, great folks, and it was very good mulch. Very, very good mulch. It's what started all of my flower beds from being basically on top of rock into, hey, I actually have soil here now, because it maintained moisture, it provided nutrients, and it gave all those little goody bugs that chew up rocky and nasty soil and turn it into good soil, gave them a home. And they returned the favor by giving me a great soil. I cannot believe how poor it was and how good it was the other day when I was digging in it. It was night and day, and the only effort I had to do was to keep mulch on it. And I did that about once a year. That is how you're going to turn our terrible Texas soil, if you even want to call it so, soil, into something that you can grow things in with a great till. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Okay, I'm getting a common question, and it deserves an answer. What about in the mulch if they ground up a tree with oak wilt? What about they grind up, somebody cut down a ligustrum? There is a risk that seeds can grow in the mulch and they'll come up in the places that you put down the mulch, flower beds, etc. Usually, when they grind mulch, they make pretty big piles of it, unless they've used it all. And those piles sit and they actually cook and compost on their own. Now, can you wind up with nasty stuff in your mulch? Well, if you go to Texas Oak Wilt .org, it has some explanations and answers for can I use trees with oak wilt to make mulch, and explains how, where, and when it's okay to do so. And surprisingly, it's more often than you think, it's all right. Now, that's up to you to trust. But technically speaking, if you buy bagged mulch, most of the bag mulch has been well cooked, meaning it's been exposed to temperatures that should kill not just things like weed seeds or ligustrum seeds or things like that, but it should also be cooked enough to kill many of the diseases that might be out there. Yes, they cook compost. They have to turn compost and heat it up. They also do that with mulches. So you wind up with a product with a tremendous benefit. As for the risk, that's kind of up to you. If you do not want to take the risk of having dead oak wilt trees ground up and placed on mulch under your oak trees, Don't use that. We're recycling is all we're doing. Are there risks with it? Yeah, some. I get a lot of people who will comment that when I use mulch, it's always got Bermuda grass in it. That's unusual because normally they're grinding trees and not turf. So you got to kind of wonder how it got in there. But yes, a Bermuda root, let's say I have 6 inches of Bermuda root. I can have a football field grow out of 6 inches of Bermuda root. It is that aggressive of a plant. So it will be, if you have something like that, the mulch is usually loose. It's not tight. If Bermuda is growing in it, you can reach down and pull it out. But we're trying to recycle because what are we supposed to do when a tree falls? Are we going to, you know, cut it and make wood out of it? No, most likely not. Are we going to cord it for a fireplace? Well, maybe, but not all wood is great for, you know, burning in a fireplace or a fire pit. And we cut down way more trees than we have people who want to burn them in a fire pit. So we've got to do something with what's left over. Your risk is next to nothing compared to the benefits you're going to get. And, you know, I'm fully aware. I'm fully aware that some of the places that made mulch, some of the places that made compost, you'd find things like forks in it. I'm not talking plastic forks, dish forks, real metal forks, spoons, tools. Each business does business. It's kind of on you to see who you trust, who's the best. The idea is simple. Doesn't matter who's making it. Mulch is 100% beneficial to your plants, to the soil, to preserving water. And folks, we don't have enough water. The risks you may encounter can be really individual. Yeah, sorry, you got unlucky and there was XYZ in the mulch. But too many people could benefit from putting it to use. It's like life, folks. Make your choices. Don't want to use any mulch? Okay. Pay for water. Go to the trouble of having to pull weeds. Up to you. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're at the top of the hour. I've got to break for the news. I'll catch everybody on the other side.